ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 14 या समुत्पतितम देह आकाशान मन्युम उल्बानम आत्मजिज्ञासया यचेत सगुणान अतिवर्तते या समुत्पतितं देह आकाशान मन्युम उल्भनम आत्मजिज्ञासा यचेत सगुणान अतिवर्तते. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. One who inquires into the self-realization and thus subdues his powerful anger, which awakens suddenly in the body as if falling from the sky, transcends the influence of modes of material nature. Purport. When one becomes angry, he forgets himself and his situation. But if one is able to consider his situation by knowledge, one transcends the influence of modes of material nature. One is always a servant of lusty desires, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and so forth. But if one obtains sufficient strength and spiritual advancement, one can control them. One who obtains such control will always be transcendentally situated, untouched by the modes of material nature. This is only possible when one fully engages in the service of the Lord. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 14.26, Mamcha yo vabhicharine bhakti yoge na sevate sagunan samatityatan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the spiritual platform. By engaging one in devotional service, the Krishna consciousness movement keeps one always transcendental to anger, greed, lust, envy, and so forth. One must perform devotional service because otherwise one will become victimized by the modes of material nature. Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from the 6th canto, chapter 4, the Hamsa Guhya prayers. We are covering today the text 14, which is the discussion between Somadev, the predominating deity of the moon and of the trees. He is speaking to the prachetas and preaching to them on how they should not be burning vast tracts of land covered by trees. And this is the real, this portion, this verse is the real part of, they are preaching to the prachetas, where they're talking about this aspect of anger. This aspect of anger is something which is relevant to every single person. In our experience, we find that the majority of our times, we did a small game with our small group of devotees, and we asked them to enlist the three major difficulties that they face in their sadhana bhakti. And everybody did their own top three difficulties. And when we collated, the top of the list was not lust, but anger. Anger is something which is a major, major cause of concern to a person who is performing a sadhana bhakti. No wonder Krishna says in the Gita, Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudbhava. Mahashano mahapapa. That kama esha krodha esha. Like this lust and anger, mahashano, it is mahapapam. It is very, very difficult. It is a very dangerous enemy. So, as Srila Prabhupada has given us this system of discussing Bhagavatam, so in this holy month of Kartik, which is the month of Srimati Radharani, which is the month of remembering the holy land of Vrindavan, but unless and until we really conquer this very, very base enemy of ours, anger, there is no way we can really understand the leelas of Vrindavan, the leelas of Damodar, or the leelas of Govardhan, or the leelas of Vrindavan. Everybody is thinking of Brajbhumi in this holy month of Kartik. But it is very appropriate that here we are face to face with a very, very brutal reality of life in the form of the anger that we all are harboring in our system. So, what is this anger all about? It is nothing but the three gunas, the sattva guna, the raja guna, and tama guna, they promote certain desires. And the certain desires, they agitate the mind. The mind is agitated. And when this mind is agitated, it gives rise, as we hear in the Gita, Dhyato vishayan pungsa sangateshu prajayate sanjas sanjayate kama kama krodha bijayate. That when we contemplate on the object of the senses, we get the desire to enjoy those objects of senses. That means the desire is nothing but kama, the lust to enjoy. And when the lust is unfulfilled, it gives rise to anger, krodha. So this powerful gunas, which are the agents of maya, with the way maya acts, the two major ways that this maya acts is, number one, it covers over, or what we call it, the avardatmika shakti. It covers over. Through the gunas, we get covered over. And the second way this maya acts is, it throws down, or prashatmika. I'm sorry, I'm not so good in all the Sanskrit words. But is the literal meaning of this is, it throws us down. It covers us and throws us down. That is the way the gunas act in the material world to everybody. So a person who is bound by the three gunas, all he can expect in his life is to get covered over by this maya shakti and get thrown down into the lower modes of material nature. That is rajaguna and tamaguna. And of course, sattvaguna to some extent. That is the whole purpose. So the only way we can really avoid this throwing down principle, this principle of gravity which we have known, that everything is going down, that nothing just goes up, everything goes down. So the principle of material world is everything goes down by the power of material energy. But our process is that we want to come up the modes of nature. And the only way we can be brought up is by performance of devotional service. I was analyzing that these lower modes, what they do is they feed our anarthas. When we are in the mode of tamaguna and rajaguna, all the anarthas that we are harboring in our heart is being fed by this gunas. As you go upper, the upper mode or the mode of goodness, it reduces the anarthas to some extent. But still, the anarthas are not gone. But when we come to the Shuddha Sattva platform, we come above the modes completely, then we can actually destroy the anarthas. The lower modes feeds the anarthas. The mode of goodness somewhat reduces the anarthas. But the Shuddha Sattva platform actually destroys the anarthas. So Srila Prabhupada is very brilliantly explaining here that how can we tackle this very, very dangerous enemy of anger. The power of devotional service. That's the only way. The only way we can really avoid or we can really conquer this very dangerous enemy is by the power of devotional service. It is explained. I was just going through the lecture given by Gaurang Prabhu on the power of, or the, not power of anger, sorry, the how to overcome anger, one of the Prerna lectures. And there was a very beautiful definition of anger. What is the cause of this anger? It is said that strong feelings of displeasure or aggressive hostility aroused by real or suspected wrong. Brilliant definition. I repeat, strong feelings of displeasure or aggressive hostility aroused by real or suspected wrong. So many a times, why is this anger caused? The anger is caused because we feel that something wrong is happening to us, which might be actually real, or we might feel that is real. It might not be real. He gave a beautiful example. He said that once a British officer gave a gift to an Indian soldier. That is when the time of the British Raj. And the gift he wrote, Sala Mar Jao Re. SalaMarJaoRe. So he saw the gift and he was agitated. What nonsense? How can he say it? And he was really, and there was a, he really gathered the whole group of his and they were really agitating and they really fought. What nonsense are you doing? How can you tell us this? And the Britisher explained. I said, I love all of you and I'm dependent on all of you. You are fighting for our country. What I really meant is, Salamat raho re. But I don't know proper punctuation, so it sounded as if, you die. But what I really say, Salamat, you all remain, Salamat, remained long life. So sometimes this anger is caused out of something that we perceive, something wrong been happening to us, which is not the case always. We feel that we have been insulted, we feel we have been wrong done, but it's not the case. I was analyzing this anger. Yesterday I was at somebody's house, a tiny baby of 3 months or 4 months old. And, this baby was used to being on the father's, being carried by the father. And the moment you put the baby down, the baby starts crying and throwing tantrums. So because I was giving a lecture on anger, I was seeing everything from the anger perspective. And I could see that right from the age of 3 months, the child might not have lust, might not have anger, might not have greed, might not have any of the anarthas, but it has anger. The moment something is not done the way the child wants it to be done, the only way the child can show is by throwing tantrums and just crying and howling. And as the child grows, the howling becomes louder, the tantrums become more aggressive, and the hands are used for showing the anger. I compare this to my own daughter. And, she really gets violent and she throws tantrums and, she uses the hands. And, to start and sits down. And the same thing we see in elders also. So it is basically a childish behavior to react to anger. When something is not happening, you react to it. It is right from the childhood we have been doing this. And if this particular behavior pattern is not checked properly, then it continues and becomes very, very, very large. In the case of a child, you don't give her or him something, they throw tantrums, becomes angry. If the same pattern is not checked, if they are not trained properly, the same thing grows and assumes enormous proportions to the extent that you might actually end up murdering and destroying people's lives if something is not done the way you want. What is it ultimately? It's just that childish mentality which is there in you right from the age of maybe that time you are born, which is not checked and which is grows to enormous proportions. So this anger is a very, very dangerous enemy. It is right there. We have been staying with it since the time we are born. So how is this anger caused? Frustration causes anger. Anger causes destruction. Frustration, destruction, and the via means is anger. And anger is compared to be like fire. Why does anger destroy? We say this, when a person is angry, they destroy. Recently, we saw two parties fighting. And what happens when they fight? What is fight all about? It's nothing but exhibition of anger. Right? And what happens, what is the result of the exhibition of the anger? There is destruction. Why is it destruction? Because anger is like fire. And not controlled fire, but uncontrolled fire. When fire is uncontrolled, all it can do is not cook something, but destroy something. Controlled fire can cook something very nicely and be very productive. But anger is like uncontrolled fire. All it can do is destroy. So this is the nature of anger. The only thing that is achieved out of this anger is destruction. And we see in this very, very wonderful stories of Srimad Bhagavatam how this anger is so very difficult to overcome. Even if you might be a very, very great sadhu, a muni. In the case of Durvasa Muni, the famous, he's a very great person, a person who can actually give benediction to Srimati Radharani. You know, he has to be a great person. Otherwise, how can somebody meditate the supreme mistress of the spiritual world? He meditated that, you know, whatever you cook will be as sweet as nectar, and whoever will eat it will not fall sick. Of course, he was used, you know, by Lord Krishna to give the benediction. So Radharani can cook for Krishna and at Pavan Sarovar in Nandagram. But this person was a very great person. A person who can actually run to Vaikuntha. Has to be a great man. He actually went to Vishnu, running up. But when he came to Amrish Maharaj and he said, well, he was doing it. We all know the story. When he came back and he saw Amrish Maharaj had not given him the respect that he thought was due to him, which actually he gave. Right? We talk about this definition. A suspected wrong. It was a suspected wrong. Amrish Maharaj was all there to give all the respect to him. He was ready to wait for eternity to respect this guest of his. But Amrish Maharaj, but Durvasa Muni said, no, it is he had insulted me. I came and he drank water. How can he do that? So in a fit of anger, in a spur of the moment, without really, as Prabhupada says here, if somebody forgets himself any situation, if he is able to consider his situation with knowledge, he can transcend the influence of modes of nature. If he is able to consider the situation with knowledge, Durvasa Muni couldn't do that. He was in a situation where he was a guest. Amrish Maharaj was a very, very great, powerful ruler of the world. He couldn't really assess the situation with knowledge. He just got very angry, and the spur of his anger, he took a bunch of his hair and created a very, very fiery demon, which is nothing but representative of his anger. Fire means anger means fire. So he created his internal anger into external fire in the form of this demon. And the demon was meant to destroy Amrish Mahabhu. What did he do? Anger destroys yourself. Never ever has any anger destroyed anybody else. Because when it is said, Bhakti Siddhanta was saying, what is this desire of anger? It is like holding burning charcoal in your hand, about to insult somebody. But when you're holding that charcoal, that bad feelings in your heart, and waiting for a time where you can really, you know, retaliate back, it's like holding charcoal. While you're holding charcoal, which is burning, by the way, you are getting burned yourself before you really throw it. So this desire of really causing harm to others, it might cause some harm to others, but all it does also is this does major harm to yourself. And, you know, Krishna sent the chakra, and then, you know, he was being chased. The whole story goes. So very powerful example of how anger can cause even such a person of such high caliber to lose his power of discrimination. Because he's not performing bhakti yoga. Because he's not yet above the three modes of material nature. Another very powerful example we are all going to very soon discuss. The wonderful Govardhan Leela. Brilliant Leela. We get very enchanted by this Leela. But the seed of this Leela is anger. Indra not getting satisfied. And this also again, it is same, suspected wrong. Of course, Krishna, no, it is not suspected wrong. Krishna actually wanted to insult him. It is not suspected wrong. Krishna actually wanted to just smash him out. So Indra really got wild. Can you imagine the anger of Indra? He actually, again, in the fit of anger, you know. And when you get angry, what do? You want to do something, right? You want to do something. What do you do? And he said, okay, call the Samartha clouds. You know, some thoughts come and you act upon it. It was quite crazy of Indra to do that. To really call the clouds of destruction of the whole universe to really go exclusively on Vrindavan and bombard their reigns over Vrindavan. It was quite not really equivalent to the action done by Krishna. It was not so much of an insult. But he got so angry. So this is the dangers of anger. And of course, the classical story about Daksha Maharaj. Brilliant story. We all know that we all have covered this part of the Bhagavatam. That how Daksha was being respected by everybody. All the major demigods were there in his assembly to respect him, and they stood up when he came. But two people, Brahma and Shiva, they didn't stand up. Brahma, of course, father, so no problem. He need not. But Shiva, materially speaking, an inferior position of a son-in-law. Spiritually, of course, he is a Mahajan. He was meditating upon Krishna. That's why he didn't stand up. Daksha got mad. And what is the power of anger? As I said, anger means fire. And fire usually spreads, right? Similarly, when somebody gets angry, he passes on that anger to many people. That's exactly what happened in the Sabha of Daksha. He got angry and he passed on his fiery anger to many, many people. And there was a whole war. Everybody was fighting. Why? Because somebody thought that there's some suspected wrong done to him. So we are trying to establish the great dangers of this anger, and how Bhagavatam again and again and again shows the great dangers of anger. But what Srila Prabhupada is trying to teach us is not just the dangers of anger. That's just half of the discussion. What really Prabhupada is trying to focus and wanting us to really learn from this verse is how do we tackle this powerful enemy of anger. And Prabhupada is saying in the first instant, that one transcends the influence of modes of nature when one acts in devotional service. When one is acting in devotional service, only can we transcend these modes of anger, these modes of nature. In the material world, there are many people who teach us many material techniques to control this anger. People say, if you get angry, before you get angry, go and drink a cold glass of water. Or before you get angry, you just count 1 to 10. Because you know what they want is they want some time before you think you get angry. That might be some material, you know, it might work sometimes. But the base desire of getting angry is not gone yet. Right? The base desire is not gone. Bhakti is not a matter of information. Bhakti is a matter of transformation. This is all informative knowledge. Do this, but what will really change us, what will really transform us, is bhakti. Bhakti is that means of transformation. Information will not change us, but bhakti will change us. Right? So when we perform bhakti, we slowly, slowly, slowly get transformed. The transformation is there. And what is this transformation all about? What does bhakti do really? How does it really work? When we perform bhakti yoga, we slowly come above the three modes. And we become like lotus flowers. That's what Prabhupada is saying here very clearly. One who obtains such control will always be transcendentally situated, untouched by the modes of material nature. Untouched. That means what Prabhupada is trying to tell us, and if something is touching you, if you don't want to touch it, either you remove that or you go above. You can't remove the modes of nature from the material world. So what is the next solution? Come above the modes of material nature. And the only means to come above these gunas, to really break open these ropes, these gunas, is by performance of bhakti yoga. And you can see in the same very example of Durvas Muni, Amrish Maharaj, who could have also got angry. Try to imagine, Amrish Maharaj is a Kshatriya. Means for Kshatriyas, anger is just right there. It's just waiting. And you know, at the moment's instigation, it just is there. Amrish Maharaj could have said, Durvas, you crazy fellow. What do you think? I waited for you. What do you mean? What is this fiery demon that you created? But Amrish Maharaj was Tateinu Kampam Susamikshamano Bhunjane Vatkrita Bhagam. With folded hands, he said, if this is what Krishna wants, I'm ready. He did get angry. Why is this? Why could he behave the way he behaved? Because he was a bhakti yogi. He was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, who had really mastered the 9 processes of devotional service. And he could really assess the situation with knowledge. He had that sharpness of knowledge. Knowledge gives you sharpness to discern what is right and what is wrong. It gives you the Vivek Buddhi. So Amrish Maharaj had the Vivek Buddhi. He could discern the way he should behave, the way he should not behave. So even though it was absolutely wrong on the part of Durvas Muni, it was suspected wrong on Durvas Muni's part to tell Amrish Maharaj that you have done something wrong. But Amrish Maharaj tolerated it. He didn't get angry. So this is the only way, you know, Krishna can really, we can really tolerate this very, very powerful enemy of anger by performance of bhakti. And Prabhupada, I was reading one lecture of Prabhupada on the Bhagavad Gita, and therein he says a very simple thing. See, Prabhupada really spoke very deep philosophical truths in such a simple language. Prabhupada says many times people get angry. When somebody tells you, you are a dog, and you get angry. They say, you are a hog, Prabhupada says, and you get angry. Prabhupada says, but we are neither a dog, we are neither a hog, we are neither a king, we are neither a guru, we are simply servants of Krishna. If you are wearing a black dress, Prabhupada says, and somebody says, you are a black dress, what does it mean to you? It doesn't mean anything. You are a black dress. Yeah? It's a dress. It doesn't really mean you are not a black dress. So Prabhupada is saying, what if somebody is insulting you, is insulting this body. We are none of this. We have nothing to do with this body. We are simply the servant of Krishna. So when we come to this reality, that's why when we perform, whether we perform our chanting or we perform our deity worship, we do Manas Puja. And the verses of Manas Puja simply drive us to this understanding that I am the eternal servant of Radha and Krishna, but somehow or the other I have fallen into this miserable situation. Right? This is Manas Puja. That we have to refocus our mind on what we really are. And if we are constantly performing this Manas Puja, then we will be easily able to really see that we are neither of these things. In the trains you can see if you know how this works, how this fire spreads. This like you know this anger fire and this spreads and somebody says, "Are pagal hai? Kya bola? What does it matter to you? Are you mad by his telling you?" But you know, it is flares up. And that practically people are being murdered. People are thrown from trains. Just because somebody calls you pagal hai. That's how this anger is so dangerous. There have been husband who has killed his wife. Gaurang Prabhu was telling in his lecture that a husband, out of fit of his anger, he threw the wife from the second floor. They're fighting. Never fight in the gallery. You fight in your bedroom because, you know, at least you can push. But these guys were fighting in the gallery. He pushed his wife. And if you have a gallery, put a nice grill over it. Huh? I'm telling this is for the Grihasthas. So he was fighting. He pushed his wife. And he said, while the wife was falling down, he realized, my God, what did I do? And of course, the story is a different twist. He ran to the police. And he said, "You please arrest me, please arrest me." I said, what did you do? He said, "I pushed my wife from the second floor." I said, so what happened? Did she die? He said, "No, she's still alive." That's my arrest. So of course, this is a different twist. But what we're really trying to say is this fit of anger. There have been instances the husband kills the wife and then repents for the rest of his life. What did he do? Sringi, you know, the whole story of Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but the outcome of anger of a powerful Brahmana boy who was immature. Aradhana Swami gave a beautiful understanding to us that when out of immaturity we are powerful, we use this anger in a wrong way, and what causes is destruction for the rest of eternity. So this is the powerful effects of anger. But this anger is something which doesn't really go away when you become a devotee. This uncontrolled anger gets converted into controlled anger. The lust completely goes, becomes love. The greed goes away, becomes greed for Krishna. But the anger remains and becomes controlled anger to protect the devotees and the society, Prabhupada says. Prabhupada says there's a right way of using the anger. So devotees are not expected that they come, you know, the anger can be used in Krishna's service. Prabhupada again and again says we can use this anger to protect our society, to protect the devotees. And that's exactly what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a devotee taught us. When some devotee, Nityananda Prabhu, was insulted, the same very Lord who is the personification of compassion, Karuna Avataro, is Karuna Avataro. There is a personification of compassion. He got very angry right here. And he was about to kill. You know, when does the chakra come into picture? When he gets angry. And he got the chakra and he was about to kill. So this is the right way of using the anger. Of really, protecting the Lord's devotees. And Krishna also, there's a wonderful rasa between Bhishma Dev and Krishna, which is of anger. It is what is called the viryaras. Viryaras. The 12 secondary rasas. 12, right? There's 12 secondary rasas between of Krishna. Bhishma enjoys this viryaras. And you can see Krishna reciprocating this anger in the most amazing way. Krishna was so angry. This one of the description of Krishna coming at Bhishma Dev in a mood of anger. So anger has its place in Krishna consciousness. Krishna gets angry. Ram got angry when the ocean was not listening to him. Narsingh Dev was nothing but was all about anger. Every inch of him was anger. Wherever you touch him was anger. Prabhupada got angry so many times. Right? When there was in London, I think, right? When there was all the cameras were showing some installation, everything was falling down. Prabhupada got angry. Amsterdam, Holland. Prabhupada got angry because it has anger. It's not that he was when it was required, when the people didn't do the right things, when it was something important thing for the Lord's, you know, for the Lord's pleasure, things were not done properly, he got angry. But it's always for service. And I would like to end with a small story, which I was recently in Singapore, and I met one of the very, very advanced, I would say one of the very senior disciples of His Holiness Tamalkrishna Goswami Maharaj. And there's a beautiful story which I'd like to share with all of you. Tamalkrishna Maharaj, as you all know, externally speaking, was a very angry person. he used this anger to really correct, and he used it quite frequently. And of course, his disciples are told that how that he would really heavily come upon his disciples. Heavy. I was trying to analyze that sometimes the karmis, they appear to be so very nice to you. Excuse me, sir. And you know, they try to, but it's just a thin layer of courtesy which is covering a deep volcano of anger within them. And the great devotees, they show anger externally, but it's just a thin layer of anger which is covering a deep moon-like nature of theirs, cooling. And this is shown by the story of Tamalkrishna Maharaj. Tamalkrishna Maharaj, you know, at some time, if somebody didn't do properly, you know, this person told me, this is the same devotee, his name is Balkrishna Prabhu. He's been a disciple of Tamalkrishna Maharaj since the year 1982. Very, very advanced, very, very senior devotee of Tamalkrishna Maharaj. And, you know, he said he was personally serving Tamalkrishna Maharaj when he would come to Singapore. And sometimes when he would not do the right thing, Tamalkrishna Maharaj has personally kicked him with his own feet. In his anger, kicked him and he went far away. So if you just see that aspect, you will see, what is this? a person doing this? You might get bewildered. But then came this wonderful story he told us. That once, and Tamalkrishna Maharaj loved the cakes made by his wife. So they would, Tamalkrishna Maharaj ordered them that every year you should come to Vrindavan. Every year you should come to Vrindavan and meet me. So on one of the years, Tamalkrishna Maharaj had gone to Vrindavan in the Julan time, not in the Karthi, but in the Julan time. So he told this disciple to come over. And this Mataji was cooking the cake just the night before they were departing for India. And she was cooking the cake and she was very good at it. But somehow the other, the cake turned out to be very hard. And when the husband saw the cake, he said, well, there is no way you can take this cake. This lady had two tiny children, and with great effort she had made this cake. With great effort, with great love. But the cake turned out to be very hard. And the husband said, no way you're going to take this cake. And she felt very bad. She was crying. And then the son, who was that time 3 years old, he said, in his own way, Mama, we can take the cake, no problem, we'll pack it. So she got an idea. So we'll pack it, and we'll not tell the husband we are carrying it, but she still packed the cake in the bag and took it for Tamalkrishna Maharaj. The husband didn't know about this. And you know, Tamalkrishna Maharaj liked the fresh fruits from Singapore. So he bought some very fresh fruits and they boarded the flight. They came to Delhi. It was pouring. There was heavy rains at that time, on that day. Heavy rains. And the person who came to pick them up, when he left Vrindavan, there were no rains. And when he reached Delhi, it was pouring rains. And the person said that we should actually stay back in Delhi because, you know, if we go now, my car have no wipers and we will really not be able to drive properly. Balakrishna Prabhu said, well, I cannot wait. I've got these fresh fruits and Guru Maharaj should honor it. Otherwise, it is of no use carrying these fruits. I must take it at any cost. We must travel. So they boarded the car and they were driving on this very, very dangerous highway from Delhi to Vrindavan, without a wiper, with rains pouring. This person, the driver, was, you know, driving at one hand and was trying to wipe the screen from the outside. Many times, they said, the trucks came just like this. They're about to bang. They're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And they're taking care of the children. But they were just wanting to reach there just so that they can offer these fruits to Tamalkrishna Maharaj. And by Krishna's and Radharani's great blessings, they reached. And they ran the next day. They reached late night. They ran next day morning. They went to the room of Tamalkrishna Maharaj. And Tamalkrishna Maharaj got the first thing. Why did you come now? How did you come? It was raining so much. I said, we came by car. He said, why? Why did you come by car? Sit down. Tell me, why did you come by car? Why can't you stay in Delhi? And the husband is a very, very soft-spoken person. He didn't speak anything. And because he didn't speak anything, Tamak Samaj got more angry. Tell me, why did you not stay in Delhi? He didn't speak anything yet. And Tamak Samaj got really angry. And you know, then the wife said, actually, you know, Guru Maharaj, we have got these fruits for you. And you know, my husband wanted to offer these fruits to you. And if we would have stayed in Delhi, we didn't have a refrigerator, it would have got spoiled. The thin layer of anger was uncovered. And Tamakrishna Maharaj started profusely crying. He was crying and crying and crying. And said, how can I ever repay the love that you have shown me? He was just crying and crying and crying. And when he was crying, everybody was crying. And the disciples were crying. And then, you know, then Tamak Samaj said that, well, this is getting little, you know, he stopped it and said, okay, fine, put the fruits there. And he got into composure. And then she was hiding that cake. And, you know, and then she was hiding the cake and she was covering the sari and the husband didn't know. And then, and the wife opened the cake and, you know, offered it to Tamak Samaj. And the husband saw the cake and said, then he got angry. But he couldn't show the anger in front of Guru. He said, how did you get this cake? It is not the right cake for Guru Maharaj. It's not the right cake. So, you know, they were, but she offered to Tamakrishna Maharaj. And Tamakrishna Maharaj took it. And the husband was saying, no. But she offered it. And Tamakrishna Maharaj touched the cake. And Tamakrishna Maharaj was expert. The moment he would touch any item, he would know whether it's right or wrong. And he said, why is this so hard? And he said, I don't know, Maharaj. I use the same ingredients. Everything was the same. I don't know why it is hard. Then Tamakrishna Maharaj said, no, I know why it is hard. Because if it was not hard, then it would have got spoiled by the time it reached Vrindavan. But Radharani made it hard so that your guru can enjoy. So that it stayed for a long time. And again, Tamak Samaj started crying. This is the love of my disciples. So this is, you know, one of the many stories that I heard of this very great personality who showed some anger for correction. But deep within was the oceanic compassion and love and softness, and that's what devotees should be. We should be so deep and so cool within, and we might use the anger if required, if it is justified, if we are in the position to serve Krishna. So this is what I felt we can be learning from this wonderful verse of today, and in this month of Kartik, we can be really praying to Krishna that, you know, we really don't understand all your glories, because if we are still infested by this powerful enemies of anger and lust and greed, how can we really understand the leelas of Krishna? So we can pray to Krishna that let us be freed of this very, very dangerous enemy of anger, and the only way to really get rid of it is by very helplessly chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So anybody has any additions to make, any corrections from the senior Vaishnavas present here? Govind Prabhuji, Gaur Gopal Prabhuji, Braj Bihari Prabhuji, Nityanand Prabhu, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada ki.